Protect us, Lord, as we stay awake. Watch over us as we sleep, that awake we may keep watch with Christ, and asleep rest in his peace. Lord, now let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. Protect us, Lord, as we stay awake. Watch over us as we sleep, that awake we may keep watch with Christ, and asleep rest in his peace.
One of the most interesting things I ever discovered when I became a Dominican is that this particular reading in the gospel today is where that particular canticle that I just sang. It's something that, if you're familiar with the liturgy of the hours, every priest and religious and everyone who's decided to take on this particular devotion sings at night prayer every evening. And it really fits quite well into what we're celebrating today. This notion that Simeon came and called Jesus the light of the nations. And it's no coincidence that today, you know, the candles were blessed. Now, I don't know if many of you realized it, that yes, I was blessing you when I had the aspergillum out there, which, by the way, I really enjoyed doing. The idea was that we were also blessing the candles, because today is what's called the candle mass, and that's what we work on. And as we go through, you know, there is so much in this reading today, so I'll try to keep it to a minimum. But as we go, one of these things that, you know, that Christ became the light of the world for was to show us, you know, what it indeed meant to be his followers, even as a child. And I think it's interesting that Simeon, the second he sees Mary, comes up with the, talks about her sorrows. When he says, behold, this child is destined for the rise and fall of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted, and you yourself a sword will pierce. Well, the tradition of the church calls this the seven sorrows of Mary. And it all deals with Jesus' life. First, you know, this is the first one that we celebrate today, the prophecy of Simeon. There's also the flight into Egypt, the 3 days of the loss of the child Jesus, you know, when he was hanging out at the temple and her and Joseph had kind of lost sight of him, the meeting of Jesus with the cross, the crucifixion, the taking down from the cross, and Christ's burial. You know, that's why Simeon says to Mary that you yourself shall be pierced. And I think in many ways there's a good kind of a note for us in there. The most holy woman who ever walked the earth also had difficult times, brothers and sisters. You know, sometimes I think we can fall into that trap that says, you know, nothing bad happens to holy people. Nothing difficult happens to them. It's all so easy because they believe in God, and that's not the truth. What we celebrate today is the fact that, you know, even though Mary really did experience some difficult things in her life, she was able to hold to that notion that what was going on wasn't the end of things, and that in the end, God would take care of that. You know, and I think sometimes, and I read some interesting things over the weekend, or when I was preparing for this, you know, that this idea that our Heavenly Mother is always there and always praying for us is that, you know, she suffers because, at times, because of the rejection of her son by most of the world. You know, people today put a lot of things ahead of Jesus in their relationship with God. You know, things like sports or politics or even paying attention to what's going on in our cell phones and things like that. You know, what happens is some of the things that comfort us and some of the things which are good in and of themselves that make our lives easier become what's most important to us. And today's feast is kind of it's kind of a way to remember that, you know, they do have a place, but that, you know, they can take the place of what's important in our life, and that's our relationship with God. You know, last week we heard Jesus say, and this was at the very beginning of his his ministry, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And today I think we get that reminder that, you know, that repentance has a literal, kind of a literal meaning of, you know, change your mind and take on a new way of thinking. You know, kind of mirror that which we see in our Blessed Mother through her life. You know, our prayers also will change as we age. And the fact that that Simeon and Anna are there kind of highlight that fact for us as well. You know, let's face it, when we're kids, you know, we pray maybe that we're getting some extra dessert or something on Sunday night. As we become a little bit older, you know, and we enter those high school years, those prayers change again. For our students who are here, you know, for our college students who are here praying, hopefully that they, you know, they're listening well enough to God that they can find a way to use the skills and the abilities that he's given them to make a life meaningful to our Lord. And by the time, you know, and even for moms and dads, those prayers change. And even then, after our families start growing, you know, and they start moving on, our prayers change even more, and we get to the point where we hear this wonderful prayer, that which I kind of chanted here as we began. You know, this idea that we be open to more of what God happens. And I think some of the greatest spiritual readers that I wrote here, you know, say that, and I actually had an interesting conversation with some people yesterday when I was talking about this, those who are a little more senior than myself, that, you know, they said, yeah, that prayer really does change. And it's one of those things that if we've lived that life, if we've gone through maybe our, you know, the seven sorrows of Mary in our own life, you know, that are tailored to us, and, you know, or maybe some of those things that we're still being challenged with. But if we're open and we allow God to become a part of that, you know, that view starts changing into, okay, God, I can see that you were there helping me through all of the difficulties. I can see that you were there, and you know what? I'm preparing to meet you. I'm ready for that now. And that's absolutely beautiful. You know, and when we look at this, you know, today's Mass is also kind of what we call, it's the end of the official Christmas season in many, you know, many traditions. It's when, you know, and these are the three main things, and they all involve candles, if you notice. We bless the candles tonight. But, of course, at first there's, you know, Christmas, when Christ becomes the light of the world, when on the longest, darkest night of the year, the light of God came into our lives, so that we can experience God's love in a new way. And of course, you know, the second one, just a few days ago, we celebrated the Epiphany, when, you know, that light of Christ, when those candles and those gifts that those three people, those three wise men brought, opened up, you know, God's family to everyone. That's something to really sacrifice. And as I said, you know, we close today with the celebration of the feasts, which shows that Christ, you know, which shows Christ as the fulfillment, that light which guides all of our hopes. So, you know, as we begin, I would, you know, kind of, or as we end, I'm sorry, I'd kind of, boy, that would be a really long homily if that's where I was going to start. If that was just the warm-up, no. But I'd like to end with the idea that, you know, so what good and holy things are you going to be praying for this year? How are you going to open yourself up, you know, in a new way this year, appropriate to where you are in your life, to allow God's light to shine in and to help us through those dark times that we may face?